Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in on this Monday night. It is cold here in Chicago. I think it's -4, but it feels like it's -54. So I would like to say I am your host on tonight, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, along with Minister Sheila Kaiser. We're bringing to you Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron Ministries, that is coming to you live at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which this platform is being brought to you by our very own Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser. We would like to say thank you to the Apostle-elect for giving us this opportunity to bring forth a speaker on tonight, which will be bringing the Word of God to you raw and real. We will be telling you about what God is doing for his people. What God is giving a chance to his people to understand and accept the job of being a servant of the Lord. We're asking you to just get your word, open it up. And if you're not able to get your word because you're driving, riding, or doing something else, we will ask you to just tune in to our archives and go back and get this word on a later date, if not later tonight. Again, I'm going to ask you to get your word. At this time, I'm going to ask Minister Sheila if she will pray for us so we can move forward with the program. Minister Sheila.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God, the Father, and the Son, Lord Christ Jesus, for another day that you have blessed to give us life and to love us with all that we can expect and to love you more than you need to love him more and more, because yet he gave us another day to survive. Father, I look unto you, the head of my life, and I thank you. I thank you for another day. I call another birthday, another day of life to be birthed, to love and to cherish and to honor you more and to praise your name and to thank you, because if it wasn't for you, I would not be here another day, knowing to all that should know. We're only today because you chose to give us today. We're here because of you and only because of you. Lord, I thank you for Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser, myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, Dr. Serena Wright, Elder Kathy Kendall. I thank the Lord for all of my ministry family, the ones I know and don't know, bloodline and spiritual line. Lord, I thank you and I ask you to look over each and every person, each and every man, woman, young ladies, young men, elderly people, these babies. Lord, we ask you to take us through this world with knowledge and learning, more knowledge, and want to learn more about you, about your word, about how to serve you, how to praise you, how to pray to you. Lord, I ask you and I thank you, and I thank you to keep us straight and to understand that we love you and we should love you forever in the day. Lord, I thank you, and I want to keep you in my heart and forever to love you and to understand. I ask you to look over my daughters, my sons, my sisters, my brothers, my granddaughters, my grandsons. I ask you to bless us all in the whole, my nieces, my nephews. But I ask you to bless my bloodline and my spiritual line. But Lord, I thank you for all, because if it wasn't for you, I would not be here today. We would not be here to thank you. No matter how you thought you woke up, you must understand and believe. If it wasn't for the grace of God and the Son, Lord Jesus, you would not have made another day. I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, for blessing all of us with another day of life to love and to cherish you. Turn it back over to you, Minister W. Kaiser Wright.
Thank you so much for that prayer. We're going to get into the program, but before I introduce our speaker tonight, I would like to ask you all to please hold Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser up in prayer and hold our very own Elder Kathy Kendall up in prayer, and just keep the Thomas family in your prayers with everything that you know about and everything, if what you don't know about, just pray for them on purpose. So let's move forward with the program. On tonight, we have a woman of God that will be bringing forth the word that is not a shame of God, because we know God is our source. We're gonna welcome her aboard, and we're gonna let you all just prepare. Like I said earlier, please get your word out to go along with us, so that you would know it's not what we say, it's not what we heard, but you can read along for yourself to know that what she's telling you is in the word. She's bringing it to you from the word of God. So without further ado, we're going to bring forth our very own, oh my God, our blessed and anointed very own Dr. Serena Wright. Dr. Wright, are you on the line and ready?
I'm on the line, oh my God. Thank you so much. We are so excited. We have missed our opportunity. On last month, we were just not positioned to share anything. And so we, in the wisdom of God, did not share, but we definitely missed the opportunity and missed speaking with you, Minister Sylvia, and thank you, Minister Sheila, for you all's commitment and faithfulness. We thank God and we bless God for Apostle-elect Cecilia, and we increase our petitions that are directed to her on her behalf to the Father. We enforce the word of God and its kingdom in her direction. We send those things that bring abundance and increase to her, and we know that it is well. Hallelujah. And so we just thank God for being here again. As you know, we do make shameless plugs. We are absolutely excited about the place where God has given us to fellowship and to worship, to come to him before a corporate anointing, to walk to him hand in hand with those that are also committed to the King and his agenda. And so we want you to know that Pastor Troy Thomas is pastoring at the Fountain of Living Waters Church. We meet on Sundays at 8:30 at 8:30 a.m. at 4244 West Madison in Chicago. And I know that this goes around the whole wide world. And if you happen to be, you know, maybe in Antarctica, we'll excuse you this Sunday. But if you're anywhere in North America, I would encourage you to head that way, because there are many places where the Spirit of the Lord pours out abundantly, imparts, revelates, prophesies, and we happen to be one of them. So come on and come over to where the Fountain of Living Water is being increased by the Spirit of God. Pastor Troy Thomas is there doing an amazing job, and there's some exciting things coming up. Minister DeMelva has some things that she will be giving more details about as it gets closer to May 1st. I believe that's her target date. And so, you know, as we get more information, we'll give more information. You can always meet me here on the first Monday of the month. But I'm telling you, you need to mark off that first week of May, because it's going to be very good. And then Pastor Troy will be ordained in the third or fourth week of May by Bishop William Hudson. And so we'll also be giving you more details about the ordination service in case you want to come to see that the man of God, Bishop Hudson, ordaining Pastor Troy Thomas. If you're interested in that, then we'll have more information about that as well. And so we don't think it robbery to interject those amazing announcements, because when I was in a place where I could not see, I was so grateful if someone pointed me to vision. Hallelujah. And so I don't think it robbery to take that time to point the people of God to a place where I can speak for and tell you God will meet you there. Hallelujah. It's so important, people of God. It's so important that we have a place to meet God. There is so much going on. Even if you start watching the letters, if you start watching ABC and CBS and CNN and MSNBC and FOX, if you start watching the letters, that alone can overwhelm your mind. God help you if you turn your face to your grandmother or your grandfather that may be aging, your children that are looking like they're not going to do what God told you they would, your husband, your wife. Dare you turn your face to your job where they may be discriminatory, unyielding, where opportunities are not opening. Dare you then look at someone close to you, a friend that you loved, that may be infirm, attacked, that there may be a physical issue, if there ever is a physical. There is so much to pray for. We need to have a place to meet God. If I have never been more excited about salvation, the King and its kingdom, it is now. Because when trouble rises, the kingdom rises higher. How do I know? Because the Bible says that the greater one is still alive in me. So when trouble gets great, I know my God is always greater. When complexities get overwhelming, I know my God is still always greater. When finances become strained, I know my God is still greater. I would be like David if I had 10,000 tongues. I cannot begin to express to you what God has unlocked in my heart and my mind by having me to hear him say, daughter, I want you to be transformed and made new by my word. He said, daughter, it's a kingdom. My goodness, we've got to do, before we go and do our water cooler talk and tell everybody what we saw on the news, please find a place of relationship where you can meet God. How do I know I've met God? Because you're not the only one talking. Thank you, Jesus. Because when you come to that place, when you find yourself really before him and you begin to pour out in sincerity, when you move entitlement and you move being spoiled and robbed, and when you move how you thought it would go, and when you move your ambitions, and when you move your disappointment, and you are really before the King with your heart open and you have opened it and began to pour it out, he will speak back to you, and it can be confirmed in his word. If I haven't said anything to anybody lately, I've encouraged everybody, find a place to meet God. If it's in worship, if it's in praise, if it's at the altar, if it's in prayer, find a place. Find a place. Oh, I'm telling you, the prophetic anointing is trying to get you somewhere, because if you think you've seen trouble, you have not seen anything yet. My God, the gospel is good news, but we don't only live in the gospel, we get to benefit from the gospel, but we've got to stand in the earth as those that can always give an answer for the hope that lies within us. If it's bad, I can tell you with surety it could be worse. Hallelujah. Oh, but God is also going to begin to give us what we need to point people to him, to point people to hope, to point people to expectation, to point them in the direction of the light. Do you know how many people live in darkness that is so dark that when the light is exposed to them, they reject it? My, find a place. Oh, my goodness, that's not even what I have written down. But I'm telling you, if you're listening now or if you're listening on the replay, there is nothing more important today than to have a relationship with God that is alive, one where you can go to the Father and have him come back close to you, where you can pour out your heart and you can hear him respond. Oh, my God. Oh, because things are going to get to the point, hallelujah, where you're going to be face to face with the benefit of serving the living God. Oh, let me tell you, if you never thought you'd see
see in government. You have never, that your mind can never take in what we're going to see. And the only people that will have an answer for the hope that lie in them will be the kingdom. Oh, God, I'll add more to it before I take it back. I'm telling you what I know. The only people that will have an answer for the hope that lie within them are those that have relationship. Oh, my God. Do you know how devastated people were? There were news reports of people that were considering devastating reactions to when they didn't have any money, when the government was shut down and they couldn't feed their children and they were about to lose their homes, or so they thought. And they had become so overwhelmed with darkness and hopelessness, and they began to report how they began to go to therapists and doctors to get anti-anxiety medications and go to counselors to talk about thoughts of suicide and killing themselves because they could not feed their families and thought they were going to lose their home. And as we know, that season did end, but let me tell you how close those people were, 37 days away from thinking of killing themselves, or however many days it lasted. Please hear the Spirit of the Lord. If you don't do any, God in heaven, if you don't do anything, get a relationship with God that is alive. Go with me. Get your Bible. Get a phone. Borrow a Bible. Go knock on your neighbor's door and borrow their Bible. Get your Bible. God wants to share something else with us tonight. God is speaking. He's moving. God, I just want to throw this in there. God is always speaking. But sometimes if you're worried, if you're overwhelmed, if you're carnal, if you're not in involved, if you're not, if you haven't brought yourself in, then you can't hear him. But God is always speaking, and the Bible says he doesn't do anything until he reveals it to the prophet. So, hallelujah, that's how we already know. That's how somehow the prophetic gifting has gotten out of balance. But don't you know, because some people take some things out of balance does not negate the validity of the gift, does not negate the authority of the office. And so God has something else to say to us tonight. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 13. Oh my God, all I want to do is celebrate the Lord and his presence. But the fact that he is even willing to still abide where I abide and to use me and to fellowship with me, I am in complete awe, because I know myself. I know what a hot boiling mess I can be every other day, and he's still willing to pursue after me. He's still willing to tap me on the shoulder and say, oh, how I miss my time. He's still willing to come into my time of prayer and say, this is what I've been thinking you, even before the foundation of the world. All I want to do is just celebrate his presence. Oh my God, I've got so many things going on, you all. I do solicit the prayers of the righteous, because my life is in such a state that I need your prayers. I promise you. I promise you I do. But when I get the opportunity to come before God's people, all I want to do is celebrate him. All I want to do is say, God, does my life glorify you? All I want to do is be found in his presence. Turn with me. I'll celebrate the Lord for everything he's done in your life. Celebrate him. He doesn't have to be good to us. He doesn't have to love us. He does not have to provide for us. Celebrate him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 13. And if you have had the privilege, the opportunity to share with many of those that broadcast on Blog Talk, Smile 3E, then you know, if you have listened to anywhere I have shared, that we have talked on the greater part of 2018 about Mary and Joseph and the relationship, the dynamic, and how Joseph's relationship to Mary led her to destiny. Oh, Justin, let me tell you something. It's so important who you align yourself with. If Mary hadn't had a Joseph, then that program, that process for Jesus being birthed could have been aborted, because the angel kept coming back to Joseph and saying, the enemy's after your baby. My God, I wish we had more time, because the revelation is endless. But in 2019, God has had us to turn to a different relationship. And in 2 Samuel chapter 13, if you'll go with me, we'll be looking at a different relationship, because what God has shown me in 2018 and 2019 is that Serena, relationships make all the difference. Oh my God, let me tell you, if Michelle Obama was not in a relationship with Barack, she wouldn't have been the first lady of the free world. Relationships make all the relationships. And so God says, so I don't want you to think that I'm only trying to show you about Mary and Joseph, and then in 2019 that I only want to talk to you about Amnon and Tamar. I also want you to recognize that I'm weaving a thread of understanding in your heart, so that you are aware relationships. My God in heaven, I just want that man of God to know, if God said wait, just wait. I want that businessman to know, if God said that's not your business partner, it's not. Because relationships, oh my God, don't you know that we've got jails full of people that got in bad relationships. There are some women that got in relationships with men, and the man began to abuse them and beat them. They subsequently killed him and still ended up serving life. Relationships. You all, I'm telling you, this is not even in relationships. Make all the difference. Relationships. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 13, we're looking at the interaction, the relating. Now, don't take relationships to mean, do you like me? Check the box, where everybody's participating willingly. Sometimes relationships come familiarly. Sometimes relationships come because of work. Sometimes relationships come because of where you live. But it doesn't mean that those are not relationships. And so we are looking in 2 Samuel chapter 13 at a relationship that is very different from the one we looked at in Matthew, but a relationship nonetheless. And so I, just for the sake of time, just follow with me, but I promise you, the Bible is a lot more fascinating than powerless and scandalous. Oh my, I'm telling you, if you read your Bible, you will be so riveted by what God had unctioned them to write and leave on record. Because in 2 Samuel chapter 13, we find that Amnon, the son of David, you know David, the king, King David, who had had a relationship with one of his soldiers' wives. He, in fact, killed the soldier. My God, I told you. He killed the king. He had the soldier killed so that he could sleep with the soldier's wife. And he had a baby by the soldier's wife, and God told him, he said, you are going to experience a devastation because of what you've done. This young man, Amnon, is one of the children from that relationship. And so in chapter 13, when we are introduced, there is also Tamar, who is also the daughter of David, but by a different woman. So Amnon and Tamar are both David's children, stay with me, but they are not by the same women. So when the chapter opens, it begins to talk about how Amnon was overcome come with his need to have a relationship, a sexual relationship with Tamar, who was his sister. And he had become so sickened by his overwhelming desires for her that his friend came and said to him, "Man, what's wrong? Whatever it is, you're the king's son. What could possibly be so bad that your daddy couldn't fix it?" And so I'm paraphrasing because of time, but I will interject the scripture when it's pertinent. And so this friend Jonadab is speaking in the fifth verse to Amnon, and he said, before that, he said, "Listen, you are David's son. What's the problem?" And he told him, he said, "I am sick about my love for Tamar. I'm overwhelmed. I cannot stop thinking about her, but it is so inappropriate. It is a travesty for me, her brother, to have sex with her, and so I've just become sick with my passion for her." And Jonadab says in the fifth verse of the 13th chapter of 2 Samuel, "Go to bed and pretend you're sick, and when your father David comes to see you, say to him, 'Let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare it in my sight, that I may eat it from her hand.'" And so as the chapter goes on, that's exactly what happened. David heard his son was sick. He came over to his quarters to see him. Amnon did exactly what his friend Jonadab suggested, and David sent his daughter Tamar to help his son Amnon. David had no idea of the plot that they had planned against Tamar. David wasn't even thinking that. He was thinking in a way that, "Oh, my son is sick, and he says he has to see Tamar, so I'll send him over. And she will prepare the cakes for him and feed them to him." And he said that that would make him better. And so Tamar came over, and when she made the food, she brought it into the room. And before she began to feed it to him, he said, "Wait a minute, all of my servants to leave the house." My. "All of my servants, tell them to leave. And then I want you to come and lay down with me." And so then Tamar says, wait a minute, this cannot be, because you are my brother. And she says, now we're in the 12th verse of 2 Samuel chapter 13. She says, "Don't force and humble me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Don't do this foolhardy, scandalous thing. And how can I rid myself of my shame? And you'll be considered one of the stupid fools in Israel. I pray you, speak to the king." And so she goes on to plead with him and to beg him and to try to reason with him, because he's being unreasonable. And so he goes ahead and rapes her anyway. My God. And then the 15th verse says, then after he raped her, then, verse 15 says, Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that his hatred was greater than the love he had loved her. And then in verse 20, it says, so subsequently he put her out. He called his servants back into the house, said, "Put her out and lock the door." And verse 20 says, so Tamar dwelt in her brother's house, a desolate woman. A desolate woman. And so there are only five things, and I promise I'm going to say five things, and as long as the Holy Ghost is done, we'll be done. There are five ways that we can turn tragedy into triumph if we look into the heart of what went on between Amnon and Tamar. And so how many people know that life can get tragic? I don't care if it's financial, career-wise, physically, emotionally, relationally, life can get tragic. But God had already come that we might have life abundantly. And in so much as the Old Testament is only types and shadows, we rely on the New Testament for its promises, but we can look back into the patterns of the Old Testament for practical wisdom. My God, I didn't know that, but the Holy Ghost is brilliant. So we look back in 2 Samuel chapter 13 for patterns of how we can avoid relationships relationships that lead to desolation. And if I can be transparent, it's one of my giftings. It's one of my gifts is transparency. The reason God brought me here is because I kept ending up in desolate relationships. I kept ending up saying, God, how did I get here again? I just don't want you to think that I came in the magnificence that is Serena and God just opened the windows and the revelation of heaven. No, no, no. I was approaching this scripture in weeping and brokenness, saying, God, how did I get, Lord have mercy, how did I get here again? And so God began to reveal to me. He said, there's so much in here that I need to unlock for your life. But what I want you to share with the people is this. I'm going to share with them tragedy into triumph. Oh, because life can get so where you feel like just going and be and say, you know what, just let me go over here and I'm not going to say anything to anybody. You don't say anything to me. I won't say anything to you. But how many of us know that if God wants us to live abundantly, then when you get to the I'm not going to say anything to you, don't say anything to me point, you're desolate. Oh my God. There's no abundance in holding back. There's no abundance in bitterness. There's no abundance in withdrawing. There's no abundance in withholding. There's no abundance in those places. There's no abundance in unforgiveness. There's no abundance in the places of desolation. And so God said, I want to show you, though, there are five key points. There are so many more, but there are five key ones. So go ahead and number your paper. Go ahead and enter into your digital journal on your phone, five key points. Because I promise you, if you keep living, oh my God, I won't even tell you. But there are five key points that will God will allow you to turn tragedy into triumph. Number one, avoid bad relationships. How does that relate to tragedy? Because when you have been devastated, disappointed, when you have grief and loss, when life has not met your expectations, there is a vulnerability that exists that would not have existed if you were not in that state. And what you have to guard yourself against is bad relationships. And I said, God, well, how in heaven's name do you know the relationship is bad? Look in the scripture, because the hint that relationships are bad, according to what God wants us to understand, is because if we look at Amnon's engagement with Tamar, it was based in selfishness. It was his unquieted desire for her that he turned love. We already know that love does not have this unquenchable, passionate drive for that is inappropriate, untouchable. That is not what love is. So even though he called it love, that doesn't make it love. If you park a horse in a garage, it doesn't make it a car. Let me tell you, just because he said, I love you, you've got to know, no, love doesn't do this. Oh, but lust does. And anytime lust is in the foundation of a relationship, go ahead and write on your paper, that's a bad relationship. Because lust is selfish. Lust is unquenchable. And I read for you that lust will begin to hate you as passionately as it loved you. Oh, but whenever you find yourself in a vulnerable place, whenever life has done what life will do, don't get in a bad relationship. You'll see the selfish signs. You'll see their unquenchable desire. You'll see them moving you towards things that are not godly. You'll see their desire for you to be in a place that God has told you not to go. Those are bad relationships. You don't want your vulnerability to be met with a bad relationship. Don't let lust be the driving force, because the driving force of his request, the driving force of his pretending, the driving force of his deception, the driving force of his lies was his lust. And how many of you know that any time you're driven by lust, lies, and selfishness, you're in a bad relationship? The best way to turn tragedy into triumph is avoid bad relationships. Number two, do not make associations with people of low character. Do not, let me tell you, anytime you find vulnerabilities before you, and everybody's life has had them, if you're not having one now, why don't you write on your paper, keep living? If you are not in the midst, you're vulnerable, just keep living, because it is the way of life to ebb and to flow, to go down and to come up. And God wants us to walk through these times with as much triumph as we do our good seasons, with as much triumph as we do our strong seasons. Hallelujah. And so he says the second way to turn a tragedy into a triumph is to avoid associations with people of low character. What am I talking about? The scripture points to Jonadab. Now, even though we just discussed how Amnon's selfish, unquenchable, lustful desires were the initiator and the originator, it was Jonadab that struck the match to the gasoline. And don't you know that if you have people around you that are of low character when you are vulnerable, you are dismissing the possibility of being influenced by their low character. Oh my God, don't dismiss that. Don't think that you are so strong in God and that you've got so much money that nobody can tempt you to do something crooked to get more money. Don't you dismiss their ability to influence you to do something you never would have done on your own. Oh my God. But Jonadabs are everywhere. Jonadabs are in the grocery store. Jonadabs are in the laundromat. Jonadabs are in your favorite club. Jonadabs are on dating websites. Let me tell you something. Jonadabs are everywhere. But you've got to know, right now, I don't even know if my discernment is sharp enough to recognize you. So let me just watch for your character. Oh, my God. Don't you know character is a tattletale? Don't you know that when Jonadab started talking, he said, go to bed and pretend. Don't you know that the conversation of people of low character will give them away every time? My God in heaven, when you find yourself in vulnerable places, don't get in bad relationships and don't associate with people of low character. Number three. And we've touched on this a bit. Let me tell you something. As the Bible explains who Amnon was, it says that Amnon loved her, and Amnon loved for her, and Amnon loved her. And it continues to refer to Amnon's feelings for her as love. But if you study it out, my God, if you study and show yourself approved, my God in heaven, then you will see that the word love here is used to describe a lustful emotion, a passion-filled desire that cannot be satisfied. But even Amnon, as he talked about Tamar, as he described it to himself and to others, he referred to it as love. And then the Bible says that the way he thought he loved her, the passion and drive for which he thought he loved her, is how he actually demonstrated he hated her. So what that shows me is that Amnon did not have any insight. Oh, my God, that's so powerful. Because Amnon himself didn't recognize where his feelings were taking him. Amnon couldn't read his own map. He didn't have a meeting with himself. And he didn't call the roll and say here, and then say Amnon, and then say what? Why are you desiring her like this? And then once you force her and shame her and embarrass her, are you then willing to hate her? He didn't have any insight. Amnon couldn't look inside himself and come up with the truth. My God in heaven, Amnon is one of those people that you would get in a conversation with when you're vulnerable, trying to convince them that water is wet, because they cannot go inside themselves and identify the truth of what's going on in them. Oh, but let me tell you, that led to her desolation, because Amnon didn't have any way to establish the truth within his own heart. Amnon didn't have any accountability to anybody that could point him to the truth. So he was calling lust love, and he was letting himself hate somebody he thought he loved, and he shamed and disgraced her and then said it was her fault. And so he was caught up in such a tanglement of lies because he lacked insight. And if you are ever going to turn a tragedy into triumph, you're going to have to stay away from those that lack insight, because never before will you need insight like you'll need it when life becomes tragic. Oh, don't get around people that you've got to convince, that you've got to persuade, that day comes before night and that night follows the day. There is a place when you are vulnerable that you need to be around the mature and the seasoned, the selfless and the compassionate, not those that are so lacking in depth and insight that they couldn't tell you anything because they can't tell themselves anything. How can you tell me the truth when you can't tell yourself the truth? You don't know what's going on inside your own heart, Amnon. Let me tell you something. When life becomes tragic, tell all your Amnons, say, I can't have that conversation with you right now. I can't get into a 3-hour diatribe of why water is wet. I've got too much going on. People that lack insight can be dangerous. They're vulnerable and weak-minded. They end up leading you into places that you would have never been had you not walked in their path. I'm telling you what God told me. Whenever life becomes tragic, you don't want to engage with people that lack insight. Hallelujah. We want to avoid bad relationships. Don't make associations with people of low character, and do not engage people that lack insight. Number four, you want to learn the difference between being naive and healthy caution. I said, if you want to turn a tragedy into triumph, you want to know the difference between being naive and healthy caution. Because if you go back in your free time and look at the conversations between Amnon and Tamar, some of Tamar's behavior was completely naive. It was completely wrapped in an unbalanced innocence. My God in heaven. It was because, see, Tamar would have never thought to shame and disgrace Amnon. And because she would have never thought it, she didn't think he was thinking it. When he said, oh, my servants got to leave out, she naively said, okay, all y'all leave. And when he said, I just can only eat from your hand, she naively said, okay, I'll come and help you. But see, so there is a healthy caution. Let me tell you something. I'm not talking about the insane paranoia that we'll see on social media, where they think everybody that tries to tell them something balanced and wisdom is a hater. Listen, let me tell you something. If you need to, why don't you get your Bible so God can give you some balance? Every time somebody objects or opposes you, they have not slipped over into darkness. Every time somebody asks you to do them a favor, they should not be met with a hand of paranoia. But there is a healthy place of caution that'll help you turn a tragedy into a triumph. Because let me tell you, if Tamar had said, listen, you need to explain to me, why does everybody have to leave for you to eat this food? There is some healthy caution. There is some balance that we can add to our life that will not only help us turn tragedy into triumph, but in some instances, it's going to help you avoid it. I said the Spirit of the Lord said in some instances, it's going to help you avoid it, because you can just not be completely consumed in naivete and say, oh, no, John would never. Oh, let me it never is so long. Ask God if John would. Hallelujah. You've got to have a healthy balance. You cannot be naive, because let me tell you something. There are people that will scheme. There are places where evil has overcome the mind of a coworker, a colleague, and they are going to come back and begin to shoot into your job. Don't become naive. When you see what you see it and know it. You go and say, Mr. Johnson, Harry is over here talking, and he's using violent terms. He said he's coming back here when he leaves for lunch, and I'm not going to say, oh, Harry's not going to do nothing. Harry's going to do exactly what he said. There is a balance. We should not be those that are not naive, that are easily led away by every wind of doctrine, no matter what somebody says. I just go for the okie doke. No. You can go ahead and turn that tragedy right into a triumph by asking some questions. Say, you know what, I don't mean to be offensive, but I've got some healthy caution here. Why did you say that like that? And why didn't you show up when you said you were? And why does all your servants have to leave just for you to eat your food? And why do I have to come over? Can I make them at the castle and send them by a maiden? Let me tell you something. If you quit being so naive, a lot of your tragedy will turn to triumph. Avoid bad relationships. Those that have the foundation of lust, don't associate with people of low character. Those that would convince you to do something you would never do. Don't engage with people that are adolescent and immature and lack insight. And learn the difference between being naive and healthy caution. My God. But the summa of them all, the last point that we'll make tonight, the one that really made me stand up and walk the room, because I began to get so warm with the presence of the Lord, is when God began to show me how as I summarize this chapter for you all, how she began to plead with him when she became aware that he was, that his plan from the beginning was to rape her, and that is why he beckoned for her, and that is why he wanted her to make the food, so that would be a reason for her to come into his quarters, and that is why he sent all his servants away, because she became aware of what his plans for her were. She began to beg him, my God, she began to try to reason with him as if he were being reasonable. She had lost complete sight of who she was. She was the king's daughter. Why do I have to reason with someone that's trying to perpetrate an atrocity against me? She had lost her footing. That the situation took her so off guard that she made herself a victim. Oh, my God. But God said, daughter, if you are going to turn your tragedies into triumph, somebody say, don't you make yourself a victim. She said, listen, do this and this so that we can live without shame. We? How did this become we? No, Tamar, that's not we, that's him. Why did you fold yourself over into a victim of this ridiculous, shameful, disgusting plot? This didn't have anything to do with you. Oh, that was what was going on in his heart. That was going on in their heart. Let me tell you something. You can step right outside of the victimization of a racist by saying, that don't got nothing to do with me. That's what's going on in your sick mind. You, I am totally free to be as successful as North America has allowed me to be. But if I decide that your racist views become a we, if I entangle myself into the sickness of your racist, sexist, bigoted mind, then don't you know I've made myself a victim? I'm begging you to see that I'm a person, and I'm pleading with you to get, no, I don't have to, let me go right to my daddy. Daddy, this man that called me over here to rape me. Oh, I told you from the beginning, get a relationship, because you will turn a tragedy right into a triumph if you don't make yourself a victim. Let me tell you, she said to him in the 12th verse, brother. She said, no, my brother, brother. Oh, don't you know that you have folded yourself? That is not your brother. As soon as you set yourself against me to plot against me, oh, my God, you have just gotten yourself into a bad situation, because I'm going right to Daisy, and David's going to come over here. And I'm not going to be satisfied until you've been dealt with at the level you tried to deal with me. No, I'm not going to go into this place of false humility. And brother, please don't. No, if you aggress me, oh, my God, I'm going to Daddy. I'm going right to Dave, Daddy, because, see, you think I'm just a little girl to be victimized, but I'm the daughter of the king. Don't mistake me. Somebody told me, they said, don't get it twisted. Oh, no, I'm none of that. This ain't none of we, and I ain't none of your sister. Because, see, evidently you're thinking I'm not going to go tell David what you did and what you planned, but I am. You think I'm not going to go and tell the supervisor because he's racist, but I am. And if he don't come up with the right response, I'm going above him. And if he don't come up with the right response, I'm going above him, but I'm never going to make myself a victim of your sick plots. Oh, there's no other way to turn a tragedy into a triumph if you fold yourself over into the victim that they wanted you to be. Don't lose your focus. I told you it was the sumo of them all. Don't you know that when tragedy strikes, the easiest thing to do is to become a victim? Oh, my God. Oh, it takes the daughter of a king. It takes the son of a king to step back and say, wait 1 minute. Oh, let me tell you something. You're not going to have to put me out, because I'm going to run back over to the palace and tell my daddy what you did. You're not going to have to tell the servants, put her out and lock the door, because I'm going to go run right over to my daddy and tell him what you did. My God in heaven. He said there are 5 ways that we can turn a tragedy into triumph. The first one, don't get into bad relationships. Don't engage with those that lack insight. Don't deal with people of low character. Find a healthy balance between naivete and healthy caution, and the sumo of them all. Don't make yourself a victim. Now, let me add this disclaimer. There are times when people do power, abuse their power and victimize us. That is true, and it is unfortunate, and it happens. But what you have to hear with the spirit of God's ear is that no matter what somebody plans or does to you, it is your response to it that determines the outcome. My God in heaven, it is your response to it that will ultimately determine your outcome, because we cannot control other people. We can only govern ourselves and the way we think. And so be mindful of what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. When I say that she folded herself over into a victim, I am not talking about the point where she was overpowered by him and was victimized. I'm talking about her mindset in dealing with what had happened to her. She became a victim before the victimization actually happened. And so that is such a powerful distinction to make, because we do not want to be in denial that there are not people that exact harm and crime because of racism. Do you? I hope that you all can hear God. There are people that are sexist. They are gender biased. They are filled with hate, and they will exact their power over you if given the opportunity. But what God wanted to show us is that she had taken on the victim position before the victimization occurred. My God in heaven. See, the victimization happened in the fourth 13th verse. She had begun to be a victim to his plan in the 12th and the 13th verse. My God in heaven. But what is powerful to understand is that no matter what circumstances get laid in our life, there are some things that we don't have control over. But how we turn those tragedies into triumph is that we don't become victims in our mind to the things that have happened in our life. Hallelujah, glory to God. God wants us to know that there is a way to turn a tragedy into triumph. There is a way to turn disappointment, hallelujah, right around. There is a way to turn devastation into something deep and rich. There is a way to turn a test into a wonderful testimony of the grace of God. There is a way of turning a mess into a miracle. There is a way of turning oppression into opportunity. Hallelujah. And God has given us those 5 points tonight. Dive into the scripture with me and let the Spirit of the Lord enlighten you to how to turn every tragedy of life into a triumph. Woman of God, it's back to you.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for that word on tonight to let us know how we could take a tragedy and turn it into a triumph. That we got 5 excellent points. Avoid bad relationships. Now that right there, people need to really take it to their heart to avoid a bad relationship that will cause you to hang around with low character people. I mean, I just enjoyed the first 2 points real good. I really enjoyed them. I enjoyed knowing that I don't have to be around people that don't have insight, because they would mess up the vision I have, and they could turn me into a person that don't believe what God is showing me concerning myself. And to don't be naive, to understand that I always tell people a lot of times, my emergency, I know you don't consider it your emergency. What's important to me may not be important to you. So that lets me know I don't have to be naive and have to be around people that are unhealthy for me that will cause me to have to put up a warning sign and say, I need to be cautious. I need to be cautious with who I share my dreams with, who I tell about my dreams, who I just tell people what I want to do, or visions I have, or things that I desire. I have to be cautious with who I reveal those things to, because they may not be excited for me, or they may want to try to hold me back. And the last one that's really important, that just really takes over 4, 3, 2, and 1, don't always put yourself as a victim. Don't always play like a victim. So just know that when you know who you are and whom you are, that you have to understand that who much is given, much is required. That you have to be responsible for what God has given you. You have to be responsible even for what you're asking God for, because you have to know that it's always something or somebody that's sitting back want to put you in a desolate place. I want to say, woman of God, I thank you for the word on tonight. Just letting us know that we have a way out when we find ourselves in a way that we don't know we can get out of. I want to let anybody tonight, if they have a chance or want to speak into the woman of God's life. I'm sure the lines are open. You all just go on and speak into the woman of God's life tonight and tell her how she blessed you.
Hello, this is Cecilia. Oh, such a good word. And just knowing something that appears to be not a big thing in America, because we see so much vanity and we see so much pride, but a lot of that is really people hiding their insecurities of who they really think they are. And I just thank you so much for sharing that, and how if we look at everything that's going on and and what we're being taught is like sexism, as she was saying, racism, the various prejudices that are out there that want many of us to not walk in who we are. I mean, sons of the Most High God, daughters of the Most High God, a real Christian, I mean, a preacher, a teacher. I mean, just what those roles and those titles mean, to be a messenger for God, to be an intercessor for God. I mean, that is such royalty, to be part of that royal priesthood, just to walk that out. Even before you walk out the fact that you may be a doctor or a lawyer, or the fact that you may be a mother or a father, what about you knowing that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt, you are God's handiwork? That's right there, something to just walk out and just be so assured in, saying, God, you took the time to make me. You love me. You woke me up another morning. I mean, I could just go on and on and on. This was such a rich word of reminding us, for us to stop allowing people to get us to be less than what God created us to be. Amen.
Amen. Apostle Elect, sorry for hold up, but I couldn't get my mute button to release. I want to know, is there anyone else that wants to speak into the woman of God's life on the night concerning the word that she brought forth?
This is Minister Sheila Kaiser. I want to tell Dr. Serena Wright, thank you for the word. It was more powerful than you can imagine, and that we all need to know. We need to follow the word and to understand and to learn more. That was a very powerful message. Thank you.
Yes. Is there anyone else that would like to speak into the woman of God's life? Okay. Well, again, we thank you for joining us tonight with Smile 3, Iron Sharpening Iron. I would like to ask you all to hold the Kaiser family up in prayer. Pray for the Kaiser's family children. Pray for each one of us that's associated with this ministry, Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser, and myself, Minister Sylvia Kaiser. I would like to also ask you all to keep our very own Elder Kathy Kendall up in your prayers, and just ask God to just do it for us. Even if you don't need to know, even if you want to know but you don't know, ask God to just do it for us. Keep Dr. Serena Wright held up in your prayers. Ask God to do it for her. We're going to ask you to keep the Thomas family, Freddie, Troy, Monty, Joy, and Antoine. We're going to ask you to keep each and every one of them in your prayers, their spouses, their children's children. We're asking you to just hold them up, because they are going to the next level of their life, and we know that God is covering them, keeping them, and promoting them. And while God is doing this, we're asking God to just bless them on tonight. Bless Fountains of Living Waters. Bless Smile 3. I'm going to ask Dr. Wright if she has any cheap plugs, and if she do, to present them to us, as well as pray us out before we end the program on tonight.
Thank you, woman of God. Like I said before, we have so many exciting things coming up. I'll give some more specific, save the date for May. You know, we have two events coming up in May. And we have our services on every Sunday morning at 8:30. And so we're looking forward to sharing Spirit of the Lord with those that would come with us. But that's all that I have for right now. But we will keep you updated. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you right now. Hallelujah. We have never felt more excited about the opportunity to turn any life tragedies into triumphs. We thank you that you are a triumphant King. that you are the all-seeing and all-knowing God, that your wisdom is unsearchable. And for that, we praise and we thank you. God, we will watch in vulnerable times our relationships, the character of those around us, God, that we will choose not to be naive, and without question, we will not become victims in our mind. We know, God, that you have said that we not only conquer, but that we more than conquer. And with that, God, we take your strength that is made more perfect when we are weak as we go forward and conquer for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And again, Blog Talk is brought to you every Monday night from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have Blog Talk on Friday nights from 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, our very own Elder Kathy Kendall is on Facebook Live with her program, Let's Talk. We also have Blog Talk Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central Standard Time, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, with our very own Apostle Lex Cecilia Kaiser, with Minister Sheila Kaiser, with Let's Talk Ministries also. And do not forget our foundational scripture, which I'm sure you should know it by heart now. It's Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. With that being said, we're going to end the program with this statement. We love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Stay tuned. We'll love to hear from you on Friday with Elder Kathy Kendall, and back on Sunday with Apostle Lex Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser. See you next Monday. Bye-bye.